Everlane is known for beautiful essentials made at the best factories without traditional markups. They actually tell you the true cost of each item and how the price compares to traditional retail. And this October, they're upping their game by committing to eliminate their use of new plastic by 2021. Starting with their Renew collection, puffers and sweatshirts made entirely from recycled water bottles and designed with Everlane's trademark quality and style. Go to everlane.com/popcast to get yours. Everlane.com/popcast. Kelly Clarkson on Kelly Clarkson, before she became Kelly Clarkson. The Rewind with Guy Raz, a new original podcast from Spotify about artists and musicians and how they became the person we all recognize today. Check it out only on Spotify starting November 1st. The Rewind with Guy Raz, the podcast about the artists you know before you knew them.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your meant to be of meant to be's and beings and meanings and full meaning and partial being of music, news, and criticism.
It's got really esoteric really fast.
Woo! I'm your host, John Caramonica. We got nothing but time.
Won't you ride with me, ride with me? See where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, if it's meant to be.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna lie. Cause I'm tired of the fake love. Show me what you're made of. Boy, make me believe.
It's mid-November. It is the 51st week of the reign of Meant to Be by Florida Georgia Line and Bebe Rexha. You just heard that song. You know, I probably didn't need to play it for you. It's probably already pumping through your veins. It's not a song I particularly enjoy, but I felt like if I wanted to talk about the year in country music, year 2018, you really couldn't do better than that mediocre record. Last night, we're recording on Thursday this week. Last night was the 52nd annual Chris Stapleton Memorial CMA Awards. For those of you who are fans of seeing Chris Stapleton thank people, this is another amazing night. It's the Academy Awards of Chris Stapleton thanking people. So I am joined today by two country music fanatics and stalwarts. Who are going to be here to talk to us about what happened to the CMAs. We're also going to talk about the new Kane Brown record and the Pistol Annie's record and dudes with soul patches, maybe. I don't know. We'll see where it goes by the end. So here in studio, it's Natalie Weiner. She's got a blue check by her name on Twitter.
Wow, is that all I'm good for? Is my verified status on Twitter?
I'm sorry, it was a Thomas Rhett joke.
Is that? Oh, wow. Okay. Dang, I didn't even get that. That's how deeply I don't care about Thomas Rhett.
Well, that's why you're here. Natalie works at SB Nation, but more crucially for our purposes, is extremely passionate about country music has written about it at extended lengths.
I have.
Calling in from Virginia, which is almost near country music.
You know what?
Central.
What some people call Virginia.
What? Oh.
Old Dominion.
Ooh. Wow. Nick Murray's on the phone. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So Nick is a freelance writer who writes about country as well. And Nick, do you feel different? You just moved to Virginia. Do you feel closer to country music having left New York?
Not because of my geographic location, more just because I'm in a car a lot.
Mm.
And in a car is the real home of country music.
In a car or are you in a truck?
No, I'm in I can't even say the name of the car because you'd have to kick me off the podcast.
Is it like a Subaru, what is it, like an Outback? Like what are you listening?
He has an endorsement deal. Wait, you can't break
wait,
his.
Wait, what are you listening to? What are you listening to Chris Lane in? Tell us.
The Kia Soul.
Oh, wow. Kia Soul. Does that come preloaded with the Nashville Sirius XM station? Like, does that just come right in there? That's preloaded?
You know, It has the XM button, and I hit it, and I don't subscribe, so I had to go back to listening to Meant to Be.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It actually comes preloaded with Meant to Be.
Just on repeat for 70 hours.
That's anytime I get punished by someone I love, they play Meant to Be for me many times.
I kind of like it.
You kinda like you're it. Giving in.
It's not like
yeah,
the worst
song. You got to hear it in the car.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's extremely catchy.
Whenever it comes on, I just put the car in cruise control and stay that speed for the length of the song.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, yeah, whenever it comes on, you drive off the road.
Well, that happened.
Could happen. So Meant to Be was performed on the CMA, the Chris Stapleton Memorial CMA Awards last night by Florida Georgia Line with Bebe Rexha. This is a call out. If anybody knows and can confirm that Tyler's boots during that performance, the white boots, if anyone can confirm that those were Guidi, I'd like to know. I don't know if you can buy Guidi in Nashville. That's I'm not sure. Now, obviously, he has access
He's
to the internet.
He's never left Nashville. It's okay. True.
Okay, Tyler, if you want to go to H. Lorenzo with me, like, we can have that conversation. Anyway, if anybody knows what those Guidi boots, let me know. I thought that their sort of like B-minus C-plus performance was like pretty much indicative of the rest of the show or pretty emblematic of the rest of the show. Guys, what did you think about last night? Natalie, you want to kick us off?
I feel like it's just sort of spotlighting maybe the divide between like where the exciting parts of country music are and like where the country music establishment is,
right.
Which I guess has always existed. You know, like that's
right.
Not like a new thing, mm-hmm. But it's just it feels very egregious when you have like Carrie Underwood cracking jokes about how there are no women in radio. It's like,
right.
Ha, ha, ha.
Lols.
It's funny because it's true. And then like there are just
cut to Jason Aldean.
Right. You know, exactly. Like,
cut to Brothers
and also,
Osborne.
I mean, like, yeah, it's just like all these like extremely generic dudes. And I like Old Dominion, but many men who like have been modeled after Old Dominion. Like there's the post Old Dominion people. There's the post Stapleton people. And there's like the post Aldean people. And that more or less sums up like 90% of it. I put Thomas Rhett in the Old Dominion category. He kind of like falls in that world.
I think Thomas Rhett is more of a post Eminem figure myself, but but I'm willing to entertain that as a sort of lineage, as an alternate lineage.
And also
the red Eminem or the blue Eminem?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, first of all, if Thomas Rhett is post Eminem, he's definitely a green Eminem. Like for show. Nick, what about you? How quickly did you fast forward through the CMAs?
I think every time I watch the CMAs for the first hour, I'm like, okay, this is pretty interesting. And then I'm fast forwarding by the end. But yeah, like, I guess I agree with Natalie. It's funny how CMAs, they always build to this, like the night that country music comes together.
Right.
But everything that's interesting about it is seeing like these like little divisions that have been covered up 100 times.
Exactly.
But you can sort of sense that there's like a tension between two parties.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Kacey Musgraves win was probably the moment where that came out, you know, because everyone was like, oh, she actually won. You know, like nobody really expected that to happen, I don't think, for album
including
of the year.
Kacey Musgraves.
Yeah, no, she definitely didn't expect to win.
Can we just a quick proposition? Kacey Musgraves was A, sort of high, B, pretty high, or C, super high.
I'm not gonna
when she went on stage.
On
but, am I the only person who, when Kacey Musgraves went on stage to accept the Album of the Year award, thought she was perhaps under the wave of something? And why was I crazy to feel that way? Or was she just legitimately super shocked?
I'm not going to go there, but I think she was definitely shocked.
I think she was shocked.
I mean, like, I think most people watching were kind of shocked because it's just...
Also, Kacey Musgraves is on the New York Times website in our Diary of a Song series saying that she takes acid. So
yes.
It's not
no,
a reach.
No, 100%.
Not
I'm not saying it's a reach. I'm just saying I'm trying to be more measured about the things that I say on podcasts because I've realized that
wow.
People actually listen to them.
Well, that's, I mean, yeah, that's facts. No, I'm waiting for like the interview with Kacey Musgraves in like the year, I don't know, like 2026 or whatever. And someone asks her about the first time she won Album of the Year at CMAs. And she's going to be like, you know what? I've never told anybody. I dropped acid 6 minutes before they called my name. Now, probably teach you I don't know anything about acid because I don't know how long it takes acid to kick in.
Yeah, I don't either.
But yes, but that was, I thought, an interesting moment. Now, the CMAs, to me, I feel like there are no actual winners. There's only symbolic gestures. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand people vote for them, but everything feels symbolic. And this did seem like the Academy coming together and saying, okay, fine, Casey.
Yeah, but it's like this weird thing because she can't get a song played on radio, and right. It just like exposes that division like really acutely, which has been kind of coming to a head this year, I feel like, you know, this fact that women don't get played on country radio with any kind of regularity. And it's like instead we have this just endless stream of identical men who produce like songs that sound very similar. Mm-hmm. And they just like they have very easy success. And to see people like Miranda Lambert and Carrie Underwood finally starting to speak out about that, yep. It's like that sort of shows us. And Kacey Musgraves obviously mm-hmm. has been vocal about that for a long time. And I think the other CMA's like sort of gap, you know, that I saw was we have three black men country singers right now who are active, you know, and that's like maybe unprecedented
Kane Brown,
commercial country.
Jimmy Allen,
and Darius Rucker.
There we go.
And it's like they're all like current. It's not like mm-hmm. we're spanning many generations right here. We're talking about people who like send records to radio.
Yeah.
And the fact that none of them performed, Kane Brown presented an award and that was it. I was this is a missed opportunity.
And the thing with Kane Brown is it was very like he was not on the initial list of presenter. Like he it was very much, I think, almost like maybe 3 days ago where it was like, oh, and by the way, yeah, Kane Brown will be here. Like the person who's going to have the number one record in the country or number two record in the country this week. Like, yeah, fine.
Right, exactly.
He can be here, I guess.
And that's the thing. It's like he has this massive success. And to not acknowledge that, like, I'm just like.
I have a lot of Kane Brown hot takes, but we'll come back to the Kane Brown hot takes. Yeah. I have a lot of takes about Kane Brown, but I agree. And there is like, for example, I'm not convinced that Kane Brown is like much less famous than like Luke Combs, for example.
Oh yeah.
But Luke Combs gets to perform and Kane Brown like maybe is allowed to come in and hang out. Like maybe he can hang out. Like it's unclear.
It's just like, imagine if they had like had Rhiannon there too, you know, Rhiannon and Mavis. Rhiannon, who has famously performed Freedom Highway, could have also done that. It's like there are so many very easy ways to like be like, yeah, we're not going to like be intentionally obtuse and only have white people on stage for 90% of the show. I don't know.
I mean, you got to let Mason Ramsey cook. Gotta love Mason Ramsey. Nick, are you a Mason Ramsey fan?
Huge fan.
Yes.
He stole the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's not untrue.
They do. They kept bringing him back.
What I actually think they should have done is for every performance, they should have had Mason Ramsey in like the bottom right corner of the screen doing some kind of like interpretive yodeling on top of the performance. That would have actually been funny. You know, in the way like when they did the Midland performance, they like kind of like fuzzed up the screen as if it was 1979 or whatever. It's like it's a Mason Ramsey filter. They should have done that. Anyway, it's just a thought. So Chris Stapleton. Very thankful. I feel like I sometimes sound unkind about Chris Stapleton on Popcast, but I quite like Chris Stapleton. What I dislike is the virtue signaling of the CMA voters to sort of be like, we are supporting real, quote unquote, true, roots oriented songwriter, singer songwriter, country music, especially 2 or 3 years ago when that stuff was not getting played on the radio. Chris Stapleton on the radio now.
John, are you suggesting that Chris Stapleton saved country music?
Let me check a website. I think there's a website devoted to just that question. You guys, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, it worries me every year when Chris Stapleton wins awards. And I imagine it also worries like Jason Aldean and Dierks Bentley and like all these
others. Is top of mind for me. What are Jason Aldean's concerns right now?
No, but like, don't you like, you know, or Thomas Rhett or whoever, and they're just like, Stapleton's gonna get it again.
But can't he didn't possibly win the biggest one. Keith Urban won Entertainer of the Year.
That's okay. Can we just go right in on that? Because I have a lot of questions.
What are your questions?
Okay, usually
about his boat neck T-shirt, because I have some questions.
First of all, I think that's a very expensive sheer T-shirt he was wearing. I think it probably the same place expensive. Tyler got his boots from Florida Georgia Line. So here's the thing with the Keith Urban. Usually at the end of Popcast, I encourage people to email me with like a particular thing, but I want to just kick right into that right now. If you are a CMA voter, 7,300 CMA voters, at least three are probably listening to Popcast. If you're a CMA voter and you voted for Keith Urban for Entertainer of the Year, justify that vote. email me a justification of that vote. I'll keep you anonymous if you want to be kept anonymous. But I really dead ass want a justification for that vote. Okay, so entertainers of the year in recent years have basically been Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney, who are obviously not near the creative core of the genre, the forward-moving core. Keith Urban, it felt like a career.
Lifetime Achievement Award for Keith Urban.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And it's almost like everybody got together on the email, on the listserv.
This is Keith's year.
Yeah, that's how it felt. I don't know. Nick, did you think Keith Urban had a banner year in 2017, 2018? Are you banging Graffiti U on the regs and the Kia?
I was going to jump in and say how much I love Aldean, but the new Keith Urban is going a little too far, even for me.
That's real talk. I don't need a record with, I don't need the Julia Michaels Keith Urban song. And this is also the year he did, what was the song he did? It's called Girl.
Female. Oh, female. Worse than Girl. Oh, come on. That was last year, but yes.
Like, you should get DQ'd just for having recently released song.
No, no, no. Yeah, Female.
Let's listen to that song. Listen
to it last time year when we talked about country.
But here's the fun thing is when I say let's listen to it, we don't have to listen to it.
Okay.
Everyone else does.
Oh, no.
Yes, Pedro. Pedro would like you to know that he has to listen to it. So I'm sorry, Pedro. You can just pick, if it helps, you can pick any 30 seconds at random. I won't
there
judge.
There are no 30 seconds of Female that are better than any other 30 seconds of Female.
That's why it's content agnostic.
The Second Sex by Simone de Beauvoir. Mm-hmm. There's like that chapter where she just like lists all of the stereotypes that are put on women.
Yes.
Are you saying that Simone de Beauvoir needs a publishing credit?
Yes. Are you saying Simone de Beauvoir has been reincarnated as Keith Urban?
I got shout out my girlfriend for that observation. Left eye.
Where did I know?
No, no, yes.
How did I know that was
amazing?
That was the source, but.
So as far as what wasn't there, in addition to women, Natalie, you texted me during the performance last night. What if no woman wins in any category? And I was like, including female, the Chris Stapleton Memorial Female Club Performer.
Yes, exactly. For Morgan Stapleton, but Chris has to accept it because she's not allowed to speak in public places, apparently.
Except the New York Times. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I mean, about the Chris Stapleton thing, too, though, it almost seems like he is kind of, like, annoyed by all the awards to a degree. Like, his face when he gets on stage and, like, whatever. I don't want to like project about his personality. I've never met him, but he's just kind of like,
he's lovely.
He's just sort of like, really? Again?
Yes.
like he's like, you couldn't find anybody else give this award to.
I do think, I mean, when I interviewed him, I felt like I did try to like trigger a little bit of that out of him to be like, come on, man. And I couldn't get anywhere. One of the things when you're like a songwriter in Nashville for like 15 years, like you really just like grateful anybody cuts your records.
Yeah.
And so, like, all this other stuff that's happening in Chris Stapleton is, like, really just, like, super bonus.
Yeah.
He's just been nice.
And he's also deeply in the system because of that history with the songwriting stuff. So
Absolutely.
He's never going to, like, say bad things about
him. No, although Chris Stapleton, if you're listening and if you want to spaz out in an interview, like, 16 years from now, call me. Because I would love to publish that interview. As far as things that were not there, Free My Guy Sam Hunt, wherever he is, we don't know.
So disappointing and tragic for everyone, really.
So no Sam Hunt, no Kane Brown performance. You know, it's funny. I was thinking a lot about people conceptually being stressed out about Bebe Rexha and Meant to Be and, you know, should they be performing this at the CMAs and blah, blah, blah. Just conceptually. And then I was like, you know what I would have loved to have heard at the CMAs is Maren Morris singing The Middle.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have heard that.
Yeah.
A good song by a country singer, sort of.
Yeah.
Maren Morris definitely wearing Fashion Nova haute couture last night. Like, definitely.
I forget what she was wearing.
It was like a bustier and like a long flowy robe and like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she. It was like a bra thing. Yeah. I do remember that now. I was like, okay.
They could have folded. They gave Maren her own slot and had Ricky Skaggs play Bluegrass Meant to Be.
Thank you.
Ricky Skaggs tribute.
I mean, that sounds great to me.
A Bluegrass Meant to Be would be dope. I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Marty
Stewart. You know they would love like getting all nasally on that.
Absolutely.
You know.
All right, so I'm going to see everybody at Merle Fest next year for the Meant to Be Bluegrass Jam.
Ricky is definitely listening to the podcast. He loves it. He gets all his hair tips from you.
I mean, you could do a lot worse. So I think probably the most frustrating thing for me about the CMAs, besides who won and who didn't win or who was there and who wasn't there, I thought this was perhaps the most centrist year of the CMAs, even without a Kenny Chesney performance or, you know, no Brett Eldridge performance. You know, there were a lot of people who didn't perform, and yet somehow I felt there was just almost no texture really happening during the show. Luke Combs is ostensibly like, that's our exciting newcomer. And it was like, not even the good Luke Combs song.
Yeah.
You know, let's play a good Luke Combs song.
I like the
One Number Away,
the lottery one.
One Number Away?
Yeah.
That's the one. Let's listen to One Number Away by Luke Combs.
Are you sitting at home all alone trying to fall asleep? Are you staring a hole through your phone praying that it rings? Are you watching a movie that you've seen a thousand times? Or maybe playing some air, getting lost in your favorite lines? Well, if you're anything like me, you just might be doing whatever it takes to drown out the noise. But I just wanna hear your voice. I'm one number away from calling you. I said I was through. But I'm dying inside, got my head in a mess. Girl, I confess, I lied when I said I'm leaving and not coming back. Might be the whiskey or the midnight rain, but everywhere I go, I see your face in my brain, dialing up everything I want to say. But I'm still one number away.
The CMA is a trade organization, and their goal is ultimately to increase countries' market share. And I think that's what the first purpose of the award show is. And they it definitely set the tone with Luke Bryan opening the show with what makes you country, or just anyone can be country. There's no center to this, and whatever we're throwing at you is, I guess, country.
That's a quick reminder of that opener. So Luke Bryan performed. Luke Combs was out there. Lindsay L. Ashley McBride. Chris Jansen. Right. So Chris Jansen is a dude who I think has been skating by on being a dude who's not like the other dudes, but actually, in fact, is like nine times more like the other dudes than he
it's
presents.
It's just because he has slightly longer hair.
Exactly. No, it's honestly, he has kind of like a poor haircut.
He has like a
Fix a Drink is perfect, though. I'm a huge Fix a Drink.
It's not better than Buy Me a Boat.
Yeah, Buy Me a Boat is good.
Buy Me a Boat's
Drunk
the jam.
Girl is so egregiously bad that it cancels out anything else he could have ever
I don't
done.
Disagree with that.
His worst moment was if you watch C-SPAN during the Republican convention.
Uh-oh.
I like where this is going.
He wrote Truck Yeah for Tim McGraw, and he performed it at the convention with the lyric Trump Yeah.
You're not serious.
Oh.
Yeah, you gotta go. It's still on C-SPAN.
That's deep C-SPAN.
I looked it up for something recently, yep.
Oh my god, really?
Are you doing a Chris Jansen profile?
Are you punking us?
I swear to God.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I feel like that just proves my point even more than I could have anticipated my point being proved.
Hey, RNC, everybody put your fist up in the air one time like this. We say Trump, yeah, Trump, yeah. Everybody in this place, let me hear you say Trump, yeah, Trump, yeah. All right, baby. I got a little rubber nozzles in the back of my crew cab. Redneck rocking like a rock star, sing a little mud on the back, we can do that. I like a Friday night football, Saturday, last call, Sunday, hallelujah. If you lock it up loud and you hear a bit of proud, everybody in the place, let me hear you shout, say Trump. Yeah, I want to get it jacked up. Yeah, let's crank it on up. Yeah, now with a little bit of luck, I can find me a girl with a Trump. Yeah, we can love it on up. Till the sun comes up, yeah. If you think this life I love is a little too country, let me hear you say Trump, yeah.
Some words on Dan and Shay before we move on to happier turf. Natalie, do you want to share with the world what you shared with me?
Well, I think
today?
It's actually like common knowledge. Like early it Dan is, and Shay coverage talks about this. But one of them, Shay, I believe.
Shay Mooney,
yes. He was signed to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Entertainment before he was in Dan and Shay. And I really always assumed that Dan and Shay was a country band, like before I listened to them, because they have that plus sign stylized in their name. And I always associate that with like Christian things.
Mm-hmm.
He is on a T-Pain album. And like they did a collab.
And I did a little bit more Googling after we were talking about it. There's a live thing I found from like a BMI conference.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where Shay is like Nappy Boy doing big things this year or something.
And I'm just like, wow. And then like fast forward to 2018.
Yeah.
Dan and Shay performing these like very saccharine drinking songs. And it's just like.
It's really rough.
Oh, they're just so toothless. It's like there's nothing there.
Salute to our friend of the podcast, Scooter Braun, for having the vision on Dan and Shay.
Oh, whoops. Well, no, that could actually be bad. Okay, I'm sorry. They're not toothless.
No, they super are. The only additional thing I want to say is in the bluegrass jam, Sierra Hull was there.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra Hull is a tremendous player, and I was really happy to see her on the CMA stage, even if she only got like 18 seconds of focus, but that was great. And I cannot wait to do a Midland feature.
I'm just not gonna say anything.
Let's play Drinking Problem by Midland.
One more night, one more down, one more. Last one out, giving this town lots to talk about. But they don't know, but they don't know. People say I got a drinking problem. That ain't no reason to stop. People saying that I've hit rock bottom, just 'cause I'm living on the rocks. It's a broken heart and thinking problem. So pull another bottle off the wall. People say I got a drinking problem, but I got no problem drinking it all. They keep on talking, drawing conclusions.
So enough of the CMAs. Enough! Enough. Kane Brown just dropped his album. It's called Experiment. I have a lot of thoughts about the Kane Brown album and a lot of thoughts about Kane Brown. Natalie, do you want to kick off with some feelings about Kane Brown? You've interviewed him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, it's crazy that his album is looking like it's going to be number one. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
like,
yep.
that's a thing. I mean, mm-hmm. like, because not a lot of country albums go number one who aren't from, like, the establishment.
Correct.
And Kane is sort of in the establishment at this point, but still, as we saw on the CMAs, not firmly entrenched. But
despite his best efforts.
Right, exactly. No, he's not trying to, despite the name of the album, he's not trying to buck the system.
No, that is accurate. Can we play a Kane Brown song? I don't want to play the single. I want to play his sort of like Alan Jackson, Chattahoochee type record. Let's play Short Skirt Weather.
Ew, but I'm, ugh.
I mean, yes, but that's part of the point.
Is it? Okay. I do not endorse this particular Brown song.
Okay.
Oh, my baby's made for short skirt weather. Yeah, she made me wear summer. We'll just go on forever. From them yellow polka dots, from blue jeans to leather. Oh, my baby's made for short skirt weather. Come on now.
We'll be walking down the boardwalk, watching them jaws drop, but ain't nobody looking at me. They're all too busy staring at what she ain't wearing. Can you blame her? It's 100 degrees. Yeah, all them girls are jealous, cause they know all the fellas are watching her put on a show. Every time they see her, they all just wanna be her, making country boys' hearts explode.
Shawn Mendes on Shawn Mendes. Before he became Shawn Mendes. The Rewind with Guy Raz, a new original podcast from Spotify about artists and musicians and how they became the person we all recognize today. Check it out only on Spotify, starting November 1st. The Rewind with Guy Raz, the podcast about the artists you know before you knew them.
This is Sam Sifton, food editor of the New York Times. Whether you're just starting out in the kitchen or looking to up your game, NYT Cooking is here with more than 19,000 times-tested recipes and all the help you need to cook them well. Subscribe today at nytcooking.com/podcast.
So Natalie has left PopCast.
Look, it's so gross. I'm
sorry. I play that record because I'm trying to underscore a point about Kane Brown, mm-hmm. which is that all of the sort of anxiety about Kane Brown has basically nothing to do with his music making.
Yeah.
Very little. That's not saying that he doesn't have contemporary-ish sounding records, post-Sam Hunt sounding songs. Mm-hmm. The single, Lose It, it sounds like 2018.
Yeah.
But much of this album sounds like 1991 or 1999. Or he's not a person who is undertaking radical renovations.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that gets lost in the conversation around Kane Brown. When I was listening back to this record again this morning in preparation for today, I was struck by how, in many ways, how conservative it is. What do you guys think?
I've been trying to listen to it and figure out what that sound is. I think it's interesting how, like, I read an interview with him where he was saying how he sang a lot of R&B in high school, and it was really like Florida Georgia Line, bro country, like country music that had hip-hop R&B influences that mm-hmm. made him, like, think about singing country songs. So it's like, in one way he's, like, the product of bro country, but right. also the record sounds like bro country's daddy.
the whole family tree.
A record that like it goes back and anticipates bro country from like a 90s, late 90s, early 2000s perspective.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. And I think the thing that, you know, from a vocal tone perspective, there's such a depth and yeah. almost like, I don't want to say it's yeah. a full maturity, but like a quasi maturity in Kane Brown's thing. Has always reminded me a little bit of Randy Travis. Obviously, no one could be Randy Travis.
No, but he salute like to the God he embraces Travis. That. I mean, they've mm-hmm. like met and like hung mm-hmm. out to a degree, and you know, he's totally he does the cover. He does Three yeah, Wooden Crosses. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's like he just wants to be like all the other bros. But he's black too. Like he has this really distinctive voice that actually helps him stand out from the crowd. I think, you know, I think like his voice is what makes these records different.
You think he actually wants to be like the other bros?
To a degree. I mean, like he just as successful as them. Like he just wants to follow the country like path, you know?
Oh, for sure. But I guess I feel like when I see him leaning on earlier modes of country, mm-hmm. whether it's 80s or 90s or even early 2000s, to me, it feels like a subtle repudiation of the last 4 to 5 years.
I don't know if I would ascribe that much intent to it. I think he's just a better musician and like has a better ear for things that are like appealing sounding and not the same sort of generic, like toned down the gentle bro thing, which, as we all know, I find sort of.
Oh, we're coming to it.
Abhorrent.
We're coming up on it.
I think it might feel that way, like feel kind of like a repudiation, even just like from the listener, because we have so many country artists right now who can like only do what they're doing. Like Chris Lane can only be Chris Lane.
Yes.
Or like Brett Eldridge, maybe he has a little more range, but you know, these guys can only do the thing they're doing. And Kane Brown really, it feels like he can go in a lot of different directions. and yes. do a lot of different stuff.
Although it's interesting because even on the record with Becky G at the end of the album, it just still sounds like it's, you know, it's like it's a song with Becky G, and yet it still just sounds like a Kane Brown song. Like, so he's not doing a lot of musically adventurous things. It doesn't seem to me, but that feels calculated in the same way. Like, to me, it's almost like shoving it in Nashville's face and just being like, I'm the most country traditional guy
out. It's like, and that's the same with the Jimmy Allen thing. He's like, no, 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 I sound the same as everybody else, you know, in a town that values conformity. Like, he's like, this is, you know, it all lines up. I fit right into your playlist.
You want to play the Jimmy Allen record?
Sure. Let's I mean, it's having a good run right now.
It's having a little run. All right, let's play Best Shot, Jimmy Allen.
When I saw you for the first time, I knew I found amazing grace. It's like angels singing every time I hear your name. When you smile, I see the sun sink down on the coast out in California. And there's no doubt, because of you, I'm not the man I was before you. When you smile, I see the sun sink down on the coast out in California. And there's no doubt, because saying that I'm perfect, oh, God knows I'm not, but I'll love you with everything I got, girl, I'll give you my best shot, I'm gonna give you, I'll give you my best shot.
So Jimmy Allen also was a presenter or like an announcer on the CMAs.
Yeah, he was a presenter in a very alarming suit.
That was, I do want to say that was like a bit of a wild outfit choice.
And he was definitely like, I am here.
So it was like sort of like a silk floral print vest.
They were butterflies.
Oh, it was butterfly. Okay, so butterfly print, vest and pant with like a long Johnny Cash style overcoat.
And a weird
and
hat.
And a ball cap.
Yeah.
It was...
There was a lot happening.
It was a fit that gave me a fit. That's a real thing. But anyway, Jimmy Allen's a good example of someone who is, like you say, fundamentally pretty consistent with the value set. And yet there's, at least thus far, has not cracked through. But maybe
but
will.
He has,
it's new.
He's getting radio play now, like on this song. I think he's number two right now on Country Airplay or something like that. But yeah, and... he sort of broaches the race conversation a little bit more explicitly. Mm-hmm. He has a song called All Tractors Ain't Green. I'm not like I want so badly to laugh, but he's very earnest about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's about racism. And he's like, you can't judge a book by its cover, like all this kind of stuff. And like, you know, for Nashville,
that's a lot.
Fairly progressive, especially somebody operating in the commercial space.
Yes. And speaking of Nashville progressivism. We should probably just at least acknowledge American Bad Dream on the Kane Brown album. Let's listen to the first verse of American Bad Dream.
Remember when ninth grade was about getting late, skipping class, trying not to get caught. Now you gotta take a test in a bulletproof vest, scared to death that you might get shot. It's like I just closed my eyes. Everybody started falling for the devil's disguise that hides behind the lies that hide the truth. And I just can't take it no more. So wake me up from this American bad dream. Is it this messed up? Or is it really reality? I'm tragedy. Somebody wake me up from this American bad dream. From this American bad dream.
So this is Kane Brown's song. It's partially about gun violence, and it's partially about dishonest police officers. Sort of. The second verse is a lot more ambiguous than the first verse. As I was listening again to this song in preparation for today, I think I was so focused previously on its statement about gun violence mm-hmm. that I overlooked the fact that he was talking about people in ninth grade having sex.
Well, that's bad. The two things that are equally bad, John. Notably.
No, that's notably. I don't know about equally bad, but notably
I know,
bad.
I'm just kidding.
But I totally slipped past me until about 6 hours ago. So this is a song that is sort of, it'll be an album cut. It's unlikely. I imagine it'll be a single. But it does sound like, you know, sounds like a country radio song. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I wrote about it, I just remember thinking like, people should step up and play this. Like, Bobby Bones should play this. Doesn't matter if I'm sitting here on Popcast talking about it. Like, I'm not changing the world via Popcast.
Don't sell yourself short.
Thanks. Thanks. Glowy face emoji. Someone could step up and try to do something with this song.
Well, okay. And the related topic is Carrie Underwood has two songs on her album
yes.
that talk about gun violence.
Yes.
Her single, which is like, Hillary anthem, I guess. Like, it's called Love Wins, which is a little bit like, all right, we're 2 years late with this, but that's cool. But yeah, it talks about gun violence explicitly in like mm-hmm. the first verse, and she also has the bullet, which neither of them are like gun control now,
no.
you know. But they're for country singers to even acknowledge like guns can do bad things, like
yeah.
that's like
it's a big deal.
Yeah,
and I was actually low key hoping, especially because Carrie is so integrally woven into the CMAs. I was low-key hoping that there would basically be a medley of The Bullet with American Bad Dream.
You're really dreaming big here.
CMAs, I'm available to produce next year's show if you want some fresh ideas about
hey,
how to
I
present.
I mean, they had the Dixie Chicks and Beyonce. That was last year, right? Or was it the year before?
It was two.
Oh, yeah,
it was 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Feels like yesterday. What a time.
Nick, do you have a thought on American Bad Dream or Kane Brown's, you know, dipping his toes into this controversial hot topic?
Yeah, I think the second verse is more interesting to me than the first, trying to talk about police violence and connect yeah. that to gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had the opposite evolution with the song that you had, where the first time I heard it, I was oh my God, this is huge. And then I listened to it again, and it's so ambiguous. But
yeah.
It seems like, I don't know, he's trying to do something. So kind of a side note, I just finished George Jones's autobiography, I Live to Tell It All.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like any country fan who says how much they love cops and how that's like key to country music is just admitting that they've never read this book. It's like half of it is about how cops did him dirty for
sure.
Like, half his life.
I mean, also just admitting that they know nothing about the history of country music as a whole, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
like, outlaw country was notably a thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not a lot of, like, tributes to the troops and the outlaw, you know,
yeah.
days. I don't know.
I mean, that's very much that's an early 2000s thing. Like, that's not a forever thing.
That aspect of outlaw country is, like, totally lost on people that, like, listen to Waylon and fly the Confederate flag.
Because right.
if you go back and read the Dave Hickey essay in Country Music Magazine that like coined the term outlaw country,
mm-hmm.
and what he says, I think in like the first paragraph, he's like, the thing that connects these guys is that they're the only people in, I think he says they're the only people in Nashville who don't have a swimming pool and don't like think Jeff Davis was like the greatest guy.
Just as a sidebar question, how big do you think Eric Church's pool is? Like, is it super huge or, like, improbably huge?
I think, like, he got some people who do mountaintop removal mining.
Yeah,
and in his,
right.
like, his forest in North Carolina, he just had them take off the top of a mountain.
Yeah. Actually, he lives in a pool. His house is very small and very reasonable, but his pool is gargantuan.
The sunglasses are also goggles.
It's a very rare Gucci Prada sunglass goggle. Well, speaking of quasi outlaws, let's talk about Pistol Annies.
Aw.
I was happy to see Pistol
yeah.
Annies perform on the show. I quite enjoy this record. Shouts to Sam Donsky, who DM'd me and asked me if I was banging with the Pistol Annies record.
I don't know who that is.
That's Dance Remix on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Sam. Yes, I think this is a good record, and I think it may be my favorite Pistol Annie's stuff.
Really?
I think I've always been a little, there's always been a little something kind of incomplete to me about Pistol Annie's records. I've never been all in.
Oh, that's funny. I really feel the opposite. Oh, I mean, I like the songs, but I'm not, there aren't really so many that like really hit home for me. Like, whereas with the older ones, I'm like, there are these songs and I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, I like Best Years of My Life. That one is really good.
Mm-hmm. I like Sugar Daddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel as strongly about it. Like, there are just so many great songs, and I feel like I'm happy that they're doing stuff together again because I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I was not, like, over the moon, like, this is my album of the year kind of thing.
Nick, what do you think?
I think it might be my favorite Pistol Annie's. It feels to me a little less like they're doing it in character than some of the early... especially the first one. And yeah, I think I like Milkman. I would add that to the ones you've named.
Okay, yeah, let's listen to Milkman, buried deep on Interstate Gospel, the new Pistol Annie's record.
If mama would love the milkman, maybe she wouldn't judge me. If she'd have had a ride in his white van up and down Baker Street on a Monday with her hair down and her hand about to slide between his knees. But mama never did love nothing but daddy and me. If mama would have smoked her a cigarette, maybe she wouldn't judge me. She'd have done more than the dishes, untied them apron strings. She'd be sitting in her sundress on the back porch, mixing whiskey and sweet tea. Mama never did think twice about feeling this free. Mama never liked to pick wildflowers. Drinking on a Sunday was a sin. She might have made it past the water tower. She loved the milkman.
What I was most struck by on this record is there's like a kind of a looseness and almost like an irregularity with the songwriting. Like there are things that feel wrong, for lack of a better way of putting it. And there was, I always felt, like a concision to the presentation and the performance of the Pistol Annies as characters. That's how it felt to me previously. And this just felt like we can kind of do whatever. Like we can keep it unruly.
Yeah, I can definitely see it as looser. I don't really like Got My Name Changed Back. I find that kind of cloying. And I don't know, not all the songs necessarily jibed as much. Like, Being Pretty Ain't Pretty is, like, such a good song. Mm-hmm. Beige is, like, iconic. I don't know. These are, like, great, great, great things that I just feel like, I don't know, they just are better for me, but I've also had more time with them, so.
Sure.
We will see.
From a performance perspective, women performing on the CMAs, Pistol Annie's performed.
Kelsey Ballerini.
Kelsey. Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Elena had, like, a little.
Yeah, she had her little thing. Tribute, Dottie West.
Right. Carrie, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think when we were writing about Casey 5 years ago and Miranda 10 years ago, it seemed like we could feasibly, go 10 years without those performers ever actually truly being embraced and being invited to the party. And I wonder now, even if, are they being invited in a genuine way, or are they being invited largely because country music is so terrible at cultivating female talent that there's not even, like, a alternate choice? There's not some other direction to go in.
Like, you're saying, like, they're outside the mainstream to a degree. You wouldn't expect them to be embraced by the CMA's people.
Yes, but because they're quite literally, and they quite literally is no one else.
Yeah.
I mean, not that there are no female singers, but there's no one with a consistent retinue of hits, steady radio play. I mean, Lindsay L was there, Carly Pierce, like whatever. Like, there's plenty of people making interesting songs.
Yeah.
But very few that the industry is actively supporting.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's certainly like all the people performing, none of them are in top 30 at radio
right
now. And, you know, it's like, that's, to me, it's just like, hello, you know, I think this is just becoming so, so painfully obvious. And it's not like there isn't a gender disparity in every genre of music, but in country, radio has so much power, and yet they're so unwilling to embrace the idea that they are the problem, you know, like they're really resistant. And this is just, as I know you guys have seen, like, this is just a central conversation, especially right now, you know, like the fact that when women are underrepresented on country radio. And so, yeah, like you're saying, these women who are sort of outsiders-ish, or at least not conforming to sort of the mainstream aesthetic of country radio, like, but they're big album artists, you know? And so they have been able to maintain their following and their audience because they're great and they make great albums and whatever. But it is just, I don't know, it's so disheartening. I was like doing more research this morning, and it's like, there are actually like doctrines at radio stations, and it's like, you can't play women back to back. Like, that's like an actual rule at country radio places, you know? And it's like, you might hear like one song by a woman all day long, you know? And that's just, that's not normal. And it's like they blame it on the labels. They say the labels aren't bringing us female artists who are dropping singles, but it's like, they're out there, they're doing things, of course, you know? And so radio blames the labels. The labels say, well, radio won't play anyone who's doing. So it's like this chicken and egg thing of like, everyone's passing the buck and nobody is willing to kind of take responsibility.
And there are these, it's interesting because I feel like you've had some industry response in terms of initiatives, you know, CMT has their initiative.
Next Women in Country.
Right.
Thing.
Bobby Bones is doing a thing where there's like a syndicated hour long weekly radio show. But the fact that you need an initiative and that it often ends with the initiative, or it ends with whatever that tour is or whatever that hour of radio is.
And that's what's so, like, most of them are like, we don't want to keep talking about being women in country. Yes. Like, that's like the most annoying thing ever, you know? And I don't know, you look at Spotify's playlist, there are like one woman each on their like new boots and hot country playlist. So you have to go to the women in country playlist, which shouldn't exist because the whole premise of it is stupid. Read Liz Pelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's really called New Boots.
It's called New Boots. Yes.
Okay. I missed that playlist.
I don't know. It's just crazy to me. Like, I feel like we're reaching a tipping point. I hope we're reaching a tipping point because it's become such a mainstream talking point, you know, among like big national media outlets. But in response, it really feels like country radio is just like digging in their heels and they're like doubling down. They're like, we're going to play what we want, and what we want is a million men who sound the same.
But this has also been a miserable year for country music and gender in terms of, you look at the Me Too investigations that Rolling Stone did, well, you know, the way that female performers are treated at country radio when you're doing those tours and early in your career. I mean, this is systematic, not just from an aesthetic perspective, but also from a sociopolitical and interpersonal perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I went to Tin Pan South this year, and there was this girl who performed, and her name was Baylor Wilson. She's like, you know, one of the many people in Nashville who like has like one song on Spotify. You know what I mean? And she's like out here doing her thing. And she had like two really sharp songs. One of them was like, men won't. It was like, boys will, men won't, was kind of the conceit. And then there was another one that was about like sexual harassment, but it was super funny and sharp. And I was like, wow, this is like a great song and like a bold thing, you know? And the other people on her little songwriters round were like, wow, man-hating songs much? And I was like, this is not a man-hating song.
Are you serious? Is that how they reacted to it?
That's what happened.
But that could be the new girl in a country song. That could be the new Maddie Tay girl in a country song.
No, they were great songs. And I was just like, what are you talking? And she was like, not really.
So to circle back just to the male problem, as always, in country music. So as we close out with yet another disquisition on the male problem. So we went from the bros, and then we went to the gentlemen, and now we're in the gentle bros period. That's how it feels to me.
And the John Caramonica theory of country.
Yes. And you, Natalie, were identifying kind of a post-Stapleton kind of thing happening.
Oh, we're coming to the Mitchell Tenpenny discussion. Is that what's happening?
Someone needs to explain Mitchell Tenpenny to me.
Oh, I saw Mitchell Tenpenny at Tin Pan South.
Wow.
But say that 10 times fast.
Was he the bouncer?
No. He was performing. And I just feel like the success of Stapleton obviously has reverberated. Obviously, people hear that and they're like, I want to sound like that too. Sure. And there's also sort of a broader embrace of, I think, like Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson. People sort of are like, ooh, I want authentic country. And so that brings us to Luke Combs, who also has kind of like a gruff voice. Yes. And a more rustic, quasi-rustic approach, like, yes, the poppiest way you could do something that sounds a little bit stripped down.
It's honestly like if Luke Bryan and Chris Stapleton had a baby.
His name should be Luke Stapleton.
It honestly should. It honestly should. But that, like, Luke Combs, like, when I first encountered his music, I was like, this guy is so sweet spot.
Yeah.
So sweet spot.
Oh, totally. No, when I first heard him, I was like, yep, that's the thing. And he literally did, I think, Tennessee Whiskey, like, the first time I saw him.
Play. Oh, wow.
Also, Mitchell Tenpenny is in the same vein, and he's having a great deal of success with his first single.
It's not his. Well, I don't know if it's his first.
Okay.
Well, there's an earlier song. Single. Are you aware of the earlier Mitchell Tenpenny song, which is called, please forgive me, Bitches?
Yeah. Okay. I did actually know about that.
Oh, whoa. I forgot about that song.
Yeah. So I did not discover that song first. I discovered the Drunk Me first. And then I went back and I was like, oh, this guy's good. And then, like, the immediate predecessor to this song is a song called Bitches.
Right. But isn't it, if I remember correctly, isn't it like a 99 Problems thing where he's like flipping it? And he's like, this isn't actually offensive.
And yet the video, I remember watching the video and feeling just offended by the video.
Right.
Okay. Let's listen to Drunk Me and let's have like a temporary amnesty. At least for Mitchell Tenpenny, having done a song called Bitches, even if it is, like, LOL, which it's not.
You made us listen to Short Skirt Weather, so.
Wow.
Some people don't know when to quit, and that's why they quit. Some need to hit the bottom to see they got a problem. They can't handle it, but that ain't why I started cleaning up my life. Wish it was, but ooh, that would be a lie. I've been sober, 'cause there ain't no hangover like you, girl. No, 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 baby, can you come on? Drunk me, can't get over you. There ain't no hangover like you. Can't get over, can't get over.
He's just also has this, like, a little bit gruff, you know, a little raspy, a tiny bit, you know, an approachable amount.
Yes, approachable rasp.
Yes, exactly. But that's like the Stapleton thing. He's like, ooh, yes, I am a real man. I'm gruff. You know, I do real country.
It does feel to me like Drunk Me could be a Brett Young song.
Yeah.
Like, just imagine, like, the acoustic, there's a version of that kind of record that could be a Brett Young song. It could be a Thomas Rhett song. Well, not Thomas Rhett. I don't think Thomas Rhett drinks. Although he did do a Crown Royal promo during the CMS.
I know, that was really weird, too.
Yeah.
That was very strange.
That was maybe the weirdest part of the
CMS. I was like, wait, Crown is sponsoring the CMS? I don't know.
And wasn't the promo that they were encouraging people to, like, put, make care packages of Crown Royal bags.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, they were like filling them with like peanut butter and crackers. And,
for the troops.
Yes.
For the troops.
Can you imagine being on the receiving end and getting the purple bag and be like, oh my God, they sent me some liquor. Crown That's amazing. Royal.
And you
open
it's, like,
it's saltines.
So, yeah.
It's like saltines in an MRE.
And the Diesel t-shirt Brian was wearing at the
funeral. Oh my God.
I want to apologize in advance to any troops who are getting these Crown Royal bait and switch packages.
Also, apologies to the troops for consistently being a pawn in country music's, like, desire to appear patriotic.
Especially in an era where country music, like, patriotism is not, like, at the center of country music like it was in 2004, 2006, or 2008. Like, there's legitimate Bush era, you know, your Tobys, your Trace Adkins. Like, there's, you know.
Well, do we really long for that era, though? Well,
there was a good Gary Allen song that came out of it. That's all. That's all that matters. As long as Gary Allen got one off, we're fine. I think it's a good song, Mitchell Tenpenny's Drunk Me, but I do think it's instructive to think of it and imagine it as sung by a Brett Young. Because I do think what we're going to see and what we have seen for the last half a year and what we're going to see in the next year or so are basically fundamentally gentle songs being delivered by slightly ungentle men.
Hmm. Yeah. Also, I think it's instructive to see this is a brand new artist who's having immense success at radio, and surprise, he's a white man. So, yeah. And it's just like, whoa, that's the thing, you know, like, and Miranda literally yesterday was like, yeah, I had to sing with somebody with a penis to get a number one. Like, she said that on the record. Like, that's the point that we're at. Yes. Interview with the Washington Post.
I did not see that.
Wow. Yeah, with the program. Oh yeah, gosh. No. And then she went and did that really terrible performance with Jason Aldean at the CMAs.
Yeah, that was...
Didn't work. Didn't feel like something was wrong with the monitors.
Had they met prior to that performance? I'm not sure of that. Okay, so we've been talking about a lot of unpleasant things. Let's cleanse our souls. Let's leave with just the tiniest, faintest burst of pure light, sweetness,
wow,
energy, good vibes. Mason Ramsey, this is Famous.
Don't get me wrong, it's pretty cool to be on TV, so all the folks back home can see me, and that I'm living it out, all the things I used to dream about. Yeah, it's pretty great, singing on stage, proud cause there ain't an empty seat in the place. But girl, ever since I met you, I got a whole new perspective. If I'm gonna be famous for something, I wanna be famous for loving.
That is our show. Thank you to Nick Murray, Natalie Weiner, for coming and talking about country music. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Please, I'm serious, email me at podcastnytimes.com if you can explain to me why Keith Urban was your vote for CMA Entertainer of the Year. I'm being funny, but I'm not being funny. I really just want to know. I want to know what's in your heart. Tell me your truth. You can subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your audio content, be that Spotify or iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or Pandora or iHeartRadio or any of these places. Go ahead and get that. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. I hope it's not snowing outside still. And we will be back next week.
Another 5 years.